Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon, and for the second straight day, I have company here in the studio. Sup? I guess maybe unwilling company.
Isn't that what the kids say?
Company nonetheless. Yeah, that's
your
all
son
I
doesn't
hear.
Say that?
Sup?
Sup.
No. Sup, dude.
Sup, dude.
Sup, dude. Yeah, okay.
As they're posting pictures on Instagram.
What happened to sir? What happened to that?
Sup, sir? Next time I'll do that.
Quite do it. Welcome to PTI. Tony couldn't handle a five-day week, so coming out of the bullpen to bail him out is our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Yeah, look at that. That's what's up.
That's Friday what's welcome. Up. That sounds like Ford Field. Let's start with Saturday's NFL divisional playoff matchups. Both number one seeds are on the field after getting byes for the wild card round. Lamar Jackson and the AFC-leading Ravens host C.J. Stroud and the Texans. And later, the NFC leading Niners host Jordan Love and the Packers. Frank, which underdog are you given a better chance of pulling an upset?
I think it's going to be a major upset if either one wins.
Yep.
I tend to lean toward the Packers just because of the way that they played against the Dallas Cowboys. That was a shocking performance on both sides for both teams. And Jordan Love was so good. Aaron Jones has now rushed for over 100 yards, four straight games. Wouldn't it be something if the Packers beat the 49ers, which is something Aaron Rodgers could never do in the playoffs? He was 0-4 against them. But a lot of pressure on Brock Purdy when you're the number one seed, and let's face it, he's an unproven quarterback. But I think a lot about tomorrow is going to be about the quarterback on the Baltimore Ravens, and that's Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson.
The most
pressure. We know that he's been a brilliant regular season quarterback, but the playoffs is what it is. His teams are 1-3, and he has 7 turnovers. And let's remember, he's lost at home to the Titans, and he's lost to the Chargers. That's not the 72 Dolphins, and it's not the 85 Bears that he's lost to. So for him, it's going to be big. C.J. Stroud, I get it. He's played very well. I expect Baltimore to win. And when Baltimore wins in the playoffs, it's always defense and their running game.
Yeah,
but tomorrow, and this playoff run is going to be big for Lamar Jackson.
1-3, Frank, for Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. 1-3. Look, I, like you, think that neither one of these teams is going to be upset. The top seeds are not going to lose at home. They've had the week off. We do this every year, and we tend to forget. It happens every green moon, but I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. And if I'm going to give a better chance to one, I'm going with Houston. I'm going to go with Houston. There's got to be some trepidation for Baltimore and Lamar as they walk out on that field knowing they have not played well in the playoffs. With the 49ers, I think there's going to be something close to a decisive victory.
Really?
Jordan Love played well. He played great last week. Do I reasonably expect that to happen a second consecutive week, given San Francisco's ability to prepare for him and prepare for Green Bay and Aaron Jones and play action passing and all of that? No, I think the 49ers are going to have answers to that. But I wonder, maybe C.J. Stroud is this good. Maybe we're looking at the beginning of some incredible run. We're going to look back on this and say, he and D'Amico Ryans knew what they were doing.
And it's funny, too, whenever teams talk about rebuilding, you know what accelerates the rebuilding process? Getting the right quarterback. And clearly that's what Houston did, and they seem to have the right coach as well. Think about how quickly they turned it around. But the one thing about Green Bay, defensively,
which could have the right quarterback,
they struggled. Absolutely, and that's those two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm not convinced about their defense.
You know, they did lose to Tommy DeVito and the New York Giants not that long ago.
Yeah.
So I get it. They were outstanding against Dallas, and sometimes teams get on a roll, but the skill position players of the 49ers. Right now,
superior,
with all the teams left in the field, I think for me, it's the 49ers playoff to win. It's their Super Bowl to win, or to lose, I should say. All right, let's move to Sunday's early game in Detroit. The Lions are favored over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who ran through the Eagles on Monday night to get here. Mike, do you give Baker Mayfield and the Bucs a big chance, a little chance, or no chance to upset the Lions?
How about if I get more specific and I'll say 1 to 10, with 10 being they're going to win, a lock, and 1 being very little chance. I'm going to go a 4, 3.5 to 4. I think the Bucs have that chance with that defense and no pressure.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for no pressure. Now, I'm not going to say things are relatively equal. And people, because the Lions have not been relevant in so long, people have no idea what an advantage Ford Field is and what a crusade the city of Detroit is on.
Right.
All of Michigan coming off Michigan and Jim Harbaugh and all this good feeling around football, and it's a crusade. And people outside the Midwest don't have any, largely, appreciation for that, what this means to the people of Detroit, not just the football team. And all of that is going to be felt, which can suffocate you,
yep,
by the Lions when they take the field in Ford Field. And so, no, I think that Tampa could even get off to a lead in that game. But I think that the Lions are going to play with that energy, yeah, and with that passion.
You know, you always have that line where you say, you know, people of a certain age. But guess what? We're all of the age where the only time we think about Detroit is when they play on Thanksgiving.
That's
We're not
it.
Used to watching
no.
them play
no.
in January. Everything about this is odd. Now, one thing about Tampa. Now, they lost in week 6, 20-6 to Detroit. Detroit took care of them. But they're 6-1 in their last 7 games. They've actually played really well. And that receiving core that they have, led by, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they're pretty good.
They are.
Go ask Tom Brady how good those guys are. And Detroit's, you know, their defensive backs aren't great. So maybe they could be exploited. And everyone's talking about Todd Bowles. And Todd Bowles was a terrific defensive coordinator. He's doing a really good job now as the head coach. They're going to blitz Jared Goff every chance they get it. I agree with you. I'm in love with this story, too, what the Detroit Lions are doing. Yeah. But they were this close to being in trouble in the playoff game last weekend. That should have been a defensive pass interference call.
That was good.
The Rams, maybe it will be.
Maybe it will be. Frank, I think. I just think this game is either going to be 28-24 or Detroit's going to get on a roll and beat those blitzes and go 40-16.
Yeah.
I could see those are the two scenarios where if Detroit gets up on you and they get up on you in that place with what's at stake, having learned what they learned, they should have learned last week. You're right. They were that close to being in trouble. Can't wait for that game.
No, you're 100% right. I think also about Detroit, what you have to watch out for.
What?
Being able to run the ball. But also, Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl.
Yes. That
stuff.
He's got that experience. That matters.
Guess what? When they lost to Dallas, we're thinking maybe it's not going to be their year. All of a sudden, how quickly do things change? Maybe it's going to be Detroit's year. At least to get to a conference championship.
Play Dallas.
Yep.
The last game of the weekend features a familiar matchup, Chiefs-Bills. The Chiefs beat the Bills in the playoffs in 21 and 22, but both games were in Kansas City. This time, the Bills are the higher seed, playing at home and favored. Frank, do you expect this result to be different as well?
Well, here's what's amazing. So Patrick Mahomes, who in his career has played 12 playoff games at Arrowhead, and then he's played 3 Super Bowls.
None anywhere else.
Neutral site, right? So hasn't played a real playoff game. So everyone is kind of leaning into that. The Chiefs are 38-11 with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback on the road. So he wins all the time. So I get it. We talk about Jordan Love and we talk about C.J. Stroud. You wonder how Lamar Jackson's going to do. But it's still the number one guy in the sport is still the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Agreed.
So would I like to see Buffalo win? Of course. Buffalo never wins. The people of that city, just like the people of Detroit,
yes,
they're starved for their football team
to
win.
Means everything.
But all I ever hear, well, they lost this guy, that guy. Their offensive line is always in shambles. They commit the most penalties in
they
the league.
Do.
I get it. But I have a hard time picking against that quarterback in any playoff game that he plays.
I agree, except for I want to see him do it in a row. Show me. Show me. This is not like fourth grade where you get extra credit.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes is the best there is today. But you know what? I've been at these games, people of a certain age, that would be me. I've been at these games to see Joe Montana lose, to see Tom Brady lose. I've been to those games, and people are so shocked. I'm going with Buffalo in this game. And partially because they have been hot. They've been playing single elimination football, essentially, for like 6 or 7 weeks, certainly since Thanksgiving. So I'm going with them. They've played through all these mistakes. They've played through some weaknesses, and they got absences. They're missing starters in this game due to injury. I get that. But Kansas City has just not been impressive. Don't tell me they were impressive last week. They didn't have an opponent last week with Miami playing in below zero temps. That, to me, was like a practice session. Buffalo is going to be a real opponent. Buffalo is going to be motivated as they come. Maybe not the same as Detroit, but I'll make that comparison with you very similarly. So, yeah, I think that this is Josh Allen's time. Yeah. You got the opposite number over there. Take care of business.
Yeah, and I'm worried about the injuries on the defensive side of the ball for Buffalo.
I get it.
That's a bit
of an issue. That's
legit. But there's one thing about Josh Allen. I get it. He sometimes makes poor decisions, but can we at least appreciate how talented he is?
He makes great plays.
And, you know, I get it. We're using the Brady Manning comparison a little bit to both these quarterbacks. For me, Josh Allen reminds me a lot of John Elway.
He does.
The guy's got the huge
physically.
Arm. He's a battering ram with the ball. By the way, people of a certain age, I was in Buffalo when Montana played for the Chiefs and the Bills knocked them out of the game.
You were at that game?
On a sack. That was a cold day. Believe it or not, it was cold that day also up in
Buffalo. It was cold. You were a young pup. Remember that.
First ever assignment.
But coming up, Ryan Day is handing over Ohio State's offense to Bill O'Brien. What's the word for that?
And what's the best way to describe Saturday night's matchup between Mike's OKC Thunder and the Timberwolves?
Ooh, I love both of them. That guy might be the MVP right there. Anthony Edwards.
Ant-Man.
Nobody paying attention. I'm not mentioning him for MVP. I am. Pardon the
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Grey Goose, part of Happy Hour.
Time to fill in some blanks with fill-in Frank. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Hiring Bill O'Brien as offensive coordinator is a blank move by Ryan Day.
I like this move, Frank, and my word is going to be steadying.
Yep.
And people may not associate that with O'Brien, but as a head coach in Houston, which he had no pedigree, 52-48 with four division titles.
Yeah.
And then he did something, well, before that, he did something even more difficult to me. He went to Penn State, which was in shambles, after a massive scandal, as we remember. He was 15-9 as a coach there. He's been terrific as a head coach. He's been terrific as a coordinator. I know they didn't have much in New England this year in terms of we had personnel to make anything work. But steadying.
Yeah.
You want that hand on the wheel. To me, that's the attraction of Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's Saban-esque because Nick Saban has done this too. You take these really good coaches who are eventually going to get a head coaching job and you hire them to be an offensive coordinator. Steve Sarkisian, obviously. Lane Kiffin. Now Bill O'Brien did also in Alabama. Saban. And when he was there, Bryce Young, their offense was top 10 in scoring both years that Bill O'Brien was there. And Bill O'Brien has coached Bryce Young,
Deshaun
Watson, he might, and also Tom Brady. I'm not saying that he's solely responsible for their success, but
not
if you're Ryan Day, who was still calling the plays this year, maybe hands over the offense to Bill O'Brien completely. But it's a great recruiting tool to have a guy like that. I don't know how long Bill O'Brien's going to be there. Clearly, it's a holdover job. Greg Schiano was a defensive coordinator at Ohio State before going back to Rutgers. He nearly got the Tennessee job. This is what these big-time coaches do that don't want to just settle for any job. They go to a place like Alabama, or in this case, you go to Ohio State and get a coordinator job.
And Ryan Day needs this. He needs something steadying.
Yeah.
He does. He needs some wisdom on that sideline and maybe in the office. I mean, we think about coaching only on game days too often. When you're looking at somebody steadying something, there's some pressure.
Yeah.
If people think the pressure is not real at Ohio State, they got another thought coming.
And he needs to beat Michigan.
Well, that's
what he hasn't done in a while.
What's next?
Saturday night's game between the Thunder and the Timberwolves is blank.
Ah, foreshadowing. I mean, these are right now, with apologies to my man T. Lou and the Clippers, who have been the best team since, you know, what, December 1st?
Yep.
These two at the top of the Western Conference standings, Minnesota and Oklahoma City in that order, they're fabulous to watch. And basically, they represent as much as anybody the posse of young players that the league is going to fight. Look, I'm happy to see the Lakers, and as I mentioned, the Clippers. I'm happy to see the old people. I'm happy to see the Warriors. But De'Aaron Fox, Anthony Edwards, MVP candidate. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP candidate, facing each other. Tyrese Maxey, still Luka and Booker, Halliburton. This is the future. This is the foreshadowing of whatever greatness is to come in the NBA. You cannot have LeBron and Steph Curry, though we want them for forever.
Yeah.
And this game between OKC and Minnesota, Frank, I don't know if either one is ready yet in a conference final. I can see them losing and getting their hearts broken because that's the culture and the history of the NBA. But right now, they're appointment television.
Yeah, and that's why, to your point, that's why the word is refreshing, because it is something different. And by the way, you mentioned Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards. Luka Doncic, Steph Curry are going to win the fan vote. But based on the record and performance, I'm not saying Luka and Steph Curry should not be in the All-Star game, but the starters should be Anthony Edwards and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
No question.
And I'll give you two names, a name for both teams to watch out for, underrated players. Naz Reid on Minnesota. By the way, Minnesota's halfway through the season, they're at 30 wins, so they're on pace to win 60 games. But the other name for Oklahoma City, which no one would know him if you tripped over him,
I know you're going to say it. Go ahead.
It's Jalen Williams.
No one knows. They got two Jalen Williams on that team.
He's the Santa Clara Jalen
And people
Williams.
Don't even know Jalen Williams.
Just in his last two games alone.
How about last night?
He's 21 for 28. He's shooting 56%
11
from
for 14
field and about 47% on threes.
He's had games where he got 37. Yeah. I know at one point he and SGA shared 36-point games together. No one knows him.
And they still have all those picks.
And they got the rookie of the year.
Chet Holmgren.
Oklahoma City has that. Oklahoma City, Minnesota. I know what I'm doing. I got to get a second TV working tomorrow against the NFL games. That's the final word. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Nuggets, Celtics meet tonight. Which team has the edge?
And the new Alabama coach, Kalen DeBoer, may be losing another highly praised talent.
Everybody loses talent. It's no big deal. You go shopping. Instead of going to Safeway, you go to the transfer portal.
Everybody loses.
That's where you go. It doesn't matter.
And you steal somebody else's.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Feed La Vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 92nd birthday, Joe Schmidt. The Hall of Fame middle linebacker starred on the last Lions team to win two games in the same postseason, all the way back in 1957, when they ultimately won the NFL championship over the rival Cleveland Browns, 59-14. That was one of two titles for Schmidt's Lions, who also won in 1953 and were runners-up in 1954. Schmidt was first-team All-Pro 8 times and a 10-time Pro Bowler. He later coached the Lions for 6 seasons, going 43-34-7 with one playoff appearance. That was in 1970, a game they lost to the Cowboys down in the Cotton Bowl by a weird score of 5-0.
We're all Lions all the time. You know, that Cowboys team that you're referring to, 2 weeks earlier, they actually beat the Browns 6-2 in a game. Talk about weird
scores.
Some
weird games.
Schmidt's number 56, retired.
It should be.
Detroit Lions. Give us the names of all the guys with retired numbers on the Lions. Go ahead.
I can't remember. I remember Alex Karras.
I'm kidding.
His number was retired. Huh? Lynn Barney?
Maybe.
Not everybody else wore 22. Happy anniversary, Tom Brady, on this day. 22 years ago, the Patriots snuck past the Raiders in a divisional playoff game after an apparent fumble by Brady late in the game was overturned by referee Walt Coleman.
Terrible.
Coleman ruled that upon review, Brady was still in his passing motion trying to tuck the ball back into his chest. Citing the completely unknown tuck rule, Adam Vinatieri went on to tie the game with a 45-yard field goal in the final minute and kicked another to win it in overtime. The following week, the Patriots beat the Steelers in the AFC Championship game, then went on to beat the heavily favored Rams, the greatest show on turf, for Belichick and Brady's first Super Bowl championship.
I remember watching that game on a Saturday night in Philadelphia. I could not believe, in a press room in Philadelphia, I cannot believe what I was watching. The league got rid of that rule in 2013. I'm of the belief, if the ball does not cross the line of scrimmage in
it's
the
a
air,
fumble.
It should be a live ball.
Live ball?
Yes. It would make the games more exciting. Give the a bit of a break.
Too sensible. Who else wore 20 for Detroit?
Len.
A guy named Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders.
As well.
Billy Sims.
And now
you're
happy trails to the head coaching opening for the Las Vegas Raiders. The NFL Network reports that the team has reached agreement with Antonio Pierce to lift the interim tag and make him the full-time head coach. Pierce went 5-4 after taking over the team from Josh McDaniels, whom the Raiders fired after he went 3-5 this season and 9-16 overall. Just days ago, Pierce won the public backing of star pass rusher Max Crosby. The NFL Network reported that Crosby was likely to request a trade if the team didn't keep Pierce. And receiver Devontae Adams said a few weeks ago he'd run through a wall for Antonio Pierce.
Well, I had to get a New York reference in here. That's a former Giant, by the way. You know, they always say, think outside the box. No, sometimes think inside the
box.
They could have done this a few years earlier with Rich Bisaccia after he replaced John Gruden in the middle of the season. So if the interim coach is doing well, why not just keep him? And
again,
Antonio Pierce did a good job.
We talked about this upstairs with regard to another team. When your players say, I like playing for this dude, listen, it doesn't mean it's the only factor in the decision, but it needs to be a factor, maybe a big one. It's time now, with no mistakes today, for the big finish. So let's go to it. Five-star Alabama freshman quarterback Julian Sain reportedly intends to enter the transfer portal. Is that a big deal, Frank?
Just saying, not a big deal. Here's the thing. The Washington coach who just came in brought the backup quarterback
from Washington.
And this is what happens in the transfer portal.
Go shopping.
And it happens in college basketball. It happens in college soccer. It happens in all the college sports.
You got to go.
Alabama will be able to get players. The Astros signed reliever Josh Hader to a five-year, $95 million deal. Don't be a hater, Mike. Is that a good move?
He had 33 saves to the Padres last year. He's 29 years old. Yes, it looks like an absolute good move. U.S. women's soccer star Sam Mewis is retiring. How are you going to remember her career?
She was a very good player, good midfielder. She won one World Cup with the team that was in France. She won four titles in the NWSL. Her sister, Christy Mewis, plays over in England for West Ham. The Oilers beat the Kraken for the 12th straight win, and Austin Matthews had a hat trick as the Maple Leafs beat the Flames, which is a bigger deal.
They're both big deals. The Toronto needs to get out of fifth or sixth or wherever it is. I want to see Edmonton, Toronto with apologies to U.S. partners in television. That'd be a great Stanley Cup final, would it not? Edmonton, Toronto. Last one, Nuggets at Celtics tonight. Who you got?
Possible NBA Finals preview.
Ooh,
I think Denver's going to win. By the way, the Celtics are 20-0 at home. It's Mike Gorman, the Hall of Famer. Mike Gorman's last year. He only does the home game. They're undefeated.
No team's Gorman. Ever gone
How about
undefeated
that?
At home in the NBA.
We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great day.